The Oldie Recordings presents Lucy Lethbridge talking about Mind Your Manners, Tried and True British Household Cleaning Tips. Brought to you by Doro, number one in the senior mobile market.
This is a sponsored walk. Thank you, Jeremy. I had a request, just one quick, it's all going on. Name the charity and we'll sponsor it. Anyway, one more, with your dispensation, one more quick parrot joke. A man's parrot is swearing a lot, and he said to the parrot, will you stop this? And the parrot said, why don't you... So he said to a friend of his, he's driving me mad, and his friend said, put him in the fridge for 5 minutes. He'll get the message. So he said to the parrot, you're going to behave yourself? And the parrot said, oh, what? He said, put him in the fridge. Looked at his watch, 5 minutes, took the parrot out. He said, are you going to behave yourself now? The parrot said, all right, yeah. And the parrot looked back in the fridge and said, what did that chicken do? Now, what... Third and final speaker. Our speaker's subject is close to my heart. Housework. To me, an art in a class apart. I am so fascinated by it, I have to say, I can sit and watch housework all day. Our author writes of using rhubarb to clean a pan. That alone fascinates this lazy man. Enough. In our jolly comedy court, I am the QC. Our in-house author is Lucy. Lucy Lethbridge, welcome.
Well, I'm rather daunted to be following those two very illustrious and brilliant speakers because my subject is dirt and getting right down in the nooks and crannies and getting rid of it. I wrote my book as a spin-off from an earlier book that I had written on the history of domestic service. And while I was researching that book, I became very interested in just the sort of practical nature of dirt removal, unlikely though that sounds, because of course it is something that touches us all. There's not a single person who has not looked, if not actually acted upon, the dust and the decay and the general decrepitude of living in a house and all that it attracts. And so for this little book, which is really just an essay on the last 200 years of household cleaning with some tips added on, I went back to about 1800 to look at the unbelievable hard labour that it took to run a home and to keep it clean. And of course, nowadays we have sprays and antiseptics and all sorts of scrubs and scourings for absolutely everything. And they had very similar compounds, but in enormous quantities, all of which had to be made up by someone other than the housewife, or more likely to be her poor 12-year-old skivvy. So I'd just like to read you this contents of a Victorian household cupboard, which sounds like a chemical nightmare. But this is what you were expected to have in your cupboard simply to keep your house at sort of base cleaning level. You needed carbolic soap, yellow soap, and your favourite brand of that commodity in a powdered and put up in packet state, powdered pumice stone, paraffin, kerosene, benzine, soda, which was a compound of sodium, black lead, which, as you know, had to be made up. It came in powder form. Emery paper, sandpaper, both coarse and fine varieties. Soft soap, beeswax, turpentine. Sometimes that could be bought ready-mixed, but was usually made up. Special furniture cream or Goddard silver polish, which had been around since about 1820, remarkably. Ammonia. Which was a sort of bleaching agent, borax, Castile soap, which was made from olive oil, castor oil, made from the beans of the castor oil plant, which was kept for nourishing leather, chloride of lime for disinfectant, spirits of salt, which is now called hydrochloric acid, which was used to remove rust stains, and lemon salts, which is what we now call citric acid, which was used for clearing limescale or drains, and muriatic acid, which was a combination of hydrochloric acid and water. And that was the considered the basic stock for a single middle class home in order to keep it at sort of base level cleanliness. And if you think how dirty a 19th century home would have been, it was an all day operation. Fires in every room created a constant film of grime, and dust from the outside, dust whipped up by horses, dust whipped up by cobbles, and by building materials. And so that there was always this sort of light film of sort of dusty, grimy blackness, which had to be removed by a variety of different methods. And I think you can understand why some of the biggest inventions of our times are actually the smallest technologies. You know, the way that the washing machine has transformed our life. If you think of wash day, when washing was an eight-hour activity once a week, when you had to dry, you had to scour, you had to do bucking, stain removal. And in the winter, when all these things were hanging over your head in a damp kitchen, it was pretty miserable. And then the vacuum cleaner, which for the first time actually sucked the dirt out of things rather than simply blew it round the room again to settle on something else, which of course is the dusting method. And in fact, it was a French doctor who recommended both sucking the dirt out or using a damp duster, because he recognised that dust was a cause of respiratory disease, or it could be was a contributory factor, and that the usual method of simply wiping a dry duster around the dust simply shifted it from the chair to the table, and it floated around the room. And then there are the other smaller technologies which we rather take for granted, things like washing up liquid, which appeared in the form that we now know in the First World War, when soap of the hard variety that used to be grated into water to make a kind of jelly for washing was in short supply. So what we now think of as washing up liquid was invented. And how much easier that has made our lives. I mean, my own personal favourite when it comes to domestic technologies is rubber gloves. Because if you read the memoirs of servants, which I did when I was researching my last book, almost always they mention the horror of working with your hands in scalding water, scalding greasy water all day, and how hard their hands would become. And even cleaning plate was known as you've got plate hands if you were a footman, because you had no protection against the plate cleaner and your hands would go completely hard. So rubber gloves, which were created again in the First World War, in fact for surgical use, and didn't come into household use until the 1950s, I would reckon are among the great, small, but great inventions of our time. But the chapter I really enjoyed doing was the one on vermin, because it seemed to me, although I think probably our world is rather less dusty and we don't have to worry about coal smuts anymore, we haven't quite banished vermin. I mean, we aren't as completely infested as they would have been 100 years ago when bed bugs were common. Beatrix Potter went to stay in a hotel once and said she felt that it was not necessary to have quite so much natural history in one bed. And there were terrible, sometimes the remedies for these infestations were worse than the infestations themselves. I mean, the remedy for bed bugs in about 1810 was to boil urine and wormwood and douse the bedposts and all over the bed frame with this mixture. And there was one particularly unpleasant rat removal idea I came across, which although I imagine it would probably work, I cannot imagine you'd ever get anyone to do it, which was that you half kill a rat. You find a rat, you half kill it, then you whirl it around your head while it screams to deter other rats. I'm sure it's effective, but... and moths, of course. I mean, you know, we have all suffered from moths. The fight against moths seems a battle we still haven't won. In the old days, and indeed still now, strong smells are considered to be the best method to get rid of moths. And people, you know, put tarred rope in their among their fur coats was one I found. Camphor, of course, which is mothballs. Cedar, which we still use. Lavender, which is pleasant, but I think pretty useless. Bleach. They didn't have the deep freeze method then, but I don't know. It's never worked for me. I don't know if anyone else has worked for. Still, that, you know, we still have to battle these terrible things. And in the pursuit of helping to find cures for common household problems, I did try an awful lot of these tips. I did try the rhubarb one. I found it worked very well on saucepans. It was a bit trickier on rust stains on fabric, which was another thing. I was told that if you smeared stewed rhubarb on rust stains and poured boiling water through it, it would remove the rust stain. Didn't quite work out. But then I think probably we live in quicker days, don't we? We expect things to be done instantly with a spray of Vanish. In the old days, you would have given it several applications and gone out and given yourself proper time to see if it worked. The tip I found most brilliant and worked completely effectively, to my amazement, was one I found from a set of cigarette cards from 1927 called Household Hints. And it was about removing watermarks from polished wood furniture. And you do it with table salt, methylated spirits, and beeswax polish. And to find out how it is done, and it really, really works, you'll have to buy my book.
The Oldie Magazine Recordings. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for The Oldie 2015.